It is another beautiful night in downtown Madison. Beautiful temperatures throughout this entire week as well. Mid-40s all the way into the first day of September. First couple of days of December, I should say. I'm thinking a little too far back as well. This is Coach's Corner on Dakota's Best AM 1390 and also online at AmazingMadison.com. And before we get to our next guest as well, just want to let one of our listeners know, Coach Josh Anderson, not too happy with my selection of questions for his wife and also Madison girls basketball coach Stacy Anderson, who was joining this show, and not too happy. I would read the text, but there's a few words that are a little bit too choice for FCC quality
Tell him to eat his wings and just be quiet.
And that's what I've been saying as well, but we thank Coach Anderson for being such a loyal listener as well, which also brings in our next guest, Assistant Dakota State University track and field coach and also assistant football coach, Alex Glover. Coach, thank you so much for coming on the show once again.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
You know, another chance for you so we can talk about your Ravens coming up a little bit later. We'll talk about the NFL here in just a little bit. But we want to talk about this indoor track and field season coming up here on Friday and Saturday as well, or Friday and Saturday, yes, with the South Dakota State Holiday Open taking place up in Brookings, and also the long distance runner is going to be heading down towards Nebraska with the Fremont Half Marathon as well. But you being a throwing coach for the Trojan track and field team, I'm sure that a lot of people are excited about getting the season started, especially with that big roster that you have coming in this season for the track and field team.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited. I don't have a whole lot of downtime going from football to track, and it's been really nice these last few weeks getting to work with the throwers and really getting to see the potential that they have. It's been a great couple weeks of practice. I am extremely excited with not only just seeing how this first meet goes, but just seeing how the season progresses. We've got a couple of fantastic throwers that I am extremely excited for, and the group as a whole, I will say, practice-wise, has been doing fantastic. They've been doing great. I was just down in the weight room with Coach Vass as well, watching them work out, and they get after it. It's a great group. They're all very unselfish. They all want to see everybody do well. They're all down there working their tails off it, and it's awesome. They're listening to Coach Vass's every word, and they're getting some stuff done, throwing some heavy weights around, and they're doing great. And so, going into this first meet, I will say I do have some high expectations for them because of the fact that we have done as well as we've done in practice. But you got to understand, when you come into the meet, and especially for some of these freshmen that I have throwing, you get into actual meet, some actual pressure to where you got a bunch of people watching you. Maybe your mom and dad are in the crowd, your first meet, and so you try to press a little too much and try to do too much and kind of get off your rhythm. And so I've been trying my best throughout practice to, kind of get in their head, like, treat every throw no different than any other sport. Treat every throw like you're in a meet. This is the last throw of the meet. This is to win it all. This is to win the national championship. And just kind of get in some pressure situations to where now when they get into their first college track meet, they can just step in. Doesn't matter who's in the crowd. Doesn't matter how many people are watching you. They can just get in there, throw with ease, throw comfortably, use their proper technique, and end up with a good throw.
Yeah, and especially with, like you had mentioned, have some freshmen throwing as well with that big roster that you have. As the roster as a whole of 53, I believe, total on the roster this year, 4 seniors and also 29 freshmen come into this group here, starting off in the indoor track and field season and also leading to the spring as well with the outdoor season coming up in the spring as well. But I'm sure that with the job that yourself and also Coach Anthony Dreeland, who's also been on the show a few times, with the recruiting level that you've been able to get some of these athletes in, I'm sure that, as long as yourself, fairly confident in the building of this program for the next
couple
absolutely. Years.
And first off, give a lot of credit to Coach Foreman as well.
Coach Foreman has done a great job
with recruiting as well. Yes, I will say with the recruiting class we've had the last 2 years, we've really built up the roster to where when I first got here, we were in, high 20s, maybe low 30s mm-hmm. for roster size. And we've done really well throughout these last few years to get a lot of top-end talent at the top of the roster. So a lot of kids that come in, win conference championships, place well in conferences. And throughout my 5 years here, we've done really well as far as sending more kids to nationals than a lot of the teams in our conference. But at the same time, there's the Jamestowns and the Valley Cities and the Dickinsons of the world who have large roster sizes and are able to, once we get into the conference meet, score a lot of points because they have a four kids in high jump. They have four kids that are pole vault, and they have four kids that are long jump. And, well, we're maybe lucky to have one or two kids in those events. So they're able to score a lot of points and get a lot of points in those events where we maybe don't have somebody. And that's where they kind of are able to get that edge as far as points in the conference. And so we've continued, obviously, to fill get as much top-end talent as we can, but at the same time get a lot of other kids that maybe – where they're at right now isn't where they're going to end up, you know, so come in with some decent times, but we know that they're going to build up and are going to be able down the road to be able to score us a lot of points in conference.
Yeah. And coach, especially heading into your season as well, you get started on Friday and also Saturday up in Brookings. And then the next meet isn't all the way until January 14th as well, a big break in that schedule as well. You know, are there a fair amount of adjustments that the coaching staff along with the athletes have to make going from such that big break in competition over that winter semester break?
I wouldn't say so. I'll say with this first meet, and this is just my philosophy, I guess I can't speak for Coach Dreeland or Coach Foreman, but this first meet isn't like, oh, I need you to show up to this meet and just throw fantastic. You know, we're, especially with the throwers and me transitioning from football to track and not having a whole lot of time to work with the throwers here going into this first meet, I'm not expecting that these guys are going to be throwing around national qualifying throws. You know, and so we're really just getting started. And so, you know, if we lay some good groundwork here at this first meet, and maybe even if we don't, we've still got all this time going into the next meet. And so I don't really change my philosophy up at all, you know, with this big break. Obviously, you know, they are on scholarship and stuff, and it is a winter sport. So, you know, they're probably going to come back early. They're going to get to go home for a while and then come back and get right back to it and get back to work and hopefully continue to build so we can get to that point where we're getting to our peak at the conference championship time.
And also with, you know, we have different group to work with as well, I'm sure, replacing a couple national qualifiers from last year's throwing team as well, is going to be some adjustments, just trying to see what some of these younger athletes are going to be bringing in the throwing for DSU.
It is, and you know, right now Tyler Lems, who was a national qualifier for us last year for outdoor for discus, had surgery in the off season. He right in the middle of outdoor season last year ended up tearing, I don't even know what ligament it is, the one in his elbow that you have to have like Tommy John surgery on. So he ended up having surgery on that and now is in the process of rehabbing that and is doing a fantastic job down in the weight room with Coach Vass and getting himself back to the point to where, you know, we're not going to rush anything that he's doing. And I'm not overly worried about him really even trying to come back for indoor season. Really, really where he shines is outdoor, you know, throwing javelin, throwing discus. And so we're really trying to let him ease into things. But yeah, kind of like you said, you know, we're losing Kylie Martin, who's a 2-time national qualifier in hammer, for the outdoor track. And I mean, she was a fantastic thrower, and her work ethic is what set her apart from a lot of people. And so I'm doing my absolute best to kind of instill. And there's obviously some throwers, some carryover that we're able to throw with her as well. And so, you know, we've talked a lot about if you want to get to where you want to be, you got to have that same type of work ethic that Kylie ended up leaving here with. And so we actually watch a lot of film from her, her throws, just because she was such a stickler on her technique. And so, you know, even though she's gone and, you know, and has run out of eligibility, her watching film on her, it's still around and it's still put to use a lot, and you know, we get a lot out of it. And so yeah, with these young throwers, it's definitely going to be a transition for them. Obviously, going from having a coach in high school coming to me, and we've only worked a couple weeks together, but it's been great so far.
And we'll certainly be keeping an eye on the indoor track and field team for Dakota State University. They get their season started on a Friday up in Brookings at the South Dakota State Holiday Open, while the long distance runners are going to be heading to Fremont, Nebraska on Saturday for the Fremont Half Marathon as well. You can also stay up to date with the indoor track and field schedule on our website through the DSU 2 sports page and AmazingMadison.com. Now we're going to make a little bit of transition with about 15 minutes left into the show. Our NFL Week 13 picks. Coach Glover, no stranger towards the NFL, and also our picks as well. But a couple weeks ago, we had our last little chat with Coach Josh Anderson on the show. He brought LeVar Colbert and also Brendan Waldner on the show. And I got to give hands off to the two players. Not so much Coach Anderson. As always, talks a big game. And yeah. He always says the week prior in week 10, he said he was 9-5. And he said he was going to do better than 9-5. He wrote it here on the bottom of the paper. Well, Coach, you finished 7-7. Not an improvement there. But also LeVar finished at 7-7 as well. Well, Brendan Waldner was 10-4 2 weeks ago as well. And again, we've been saying it all year. You know, you just can't pick any definitive winners with each week that goes by. Something's always changing.
No, and there's been, you know, you hear about it a lot this year. There's been a lot of injuries and a lot of things in the NFL that, you know, home field advantage at this point in this season doesn't really exist. It's really just who's the most healthy at this point.
Yes.
Who has a quarterback that can actually throw farther than 5 yards downfield, which there aren't that many of the teams in the league that are left. So there's a lot of parity in the NFL right now. There's a couple teams, I would say, at the top that you can say, you know, they're teams that you think are vying for a shot at the Super Bowl. Then there's a gigantic group of teams that are like, well, they could be playoff teams. They could make a push to make it to an AFC or NFC championship game, or they could end up with a top five pick in the draft.
Well, that's just the crazy thing about the NFL the last few years as well. Injuries mount up, and when from week to week, even year to year, teams are just on the opposite ends of the spectrum. They come out great. They come out slow. There's just no real consistency other than the New England Patriots. That's always going to be a consistency thing. But there's always a lot of chatter here at the station of when, if and when Tom Brady does retire, when Bill Belichick, if he will go with him or not, and they'll both go out on top or both go down in the blazing.
You know, I listen to the Dan Le Batard show every day on ESPN Radio, and it was funny. They were talking the other day about how this is the first time that they have ever at any point in Tom Brady's career felt like he looked really old. Do you know when that was in the game that they thought that? It was when the ball got fumbled and he was like crawling for it.
Yes.
And they were like, yep, he's old. And he's old. When he actually gets hit, or the ball's on the ground, or he's got to run, like then he looks really, really old. The
last couple weeks, he's been questionable going up into that week, and then you know last week he throws 4 touchdown passes, but like you said as well, that one fumble that got away, he didn't want to go after that one. Maybe a couple, 2-3 years ago, he would have been diving head first and going after it at the bottom of the pile, but 40, if I look like that at 40, I think I'm going to be doing okay.
Yeah, I would in life. Say so.
But we're going to get here right to our picks as well. Week 13, no teams on bye, so a full 16-game schedule, starting off with tomorrow night's matchup with Washington, quote-unquote, Redskins at the Dallas Cowboys. Both teams 5-6, and I'm pretty sure both teams were thinking the opposite at this point of the year, especially the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys have been a shell of themselves since that 6-game suspension for Zeke Elliott went down and was made officially final after a couple weeks ago into this season.
You know, that it's going to be a really good game. Both teams have a lot of injuries. Washington the other week lost Chris Thompson, who was their best receiving and running threat, which is really big for them. And obviously with Dallas losing Zeke for 6 games now, they've looked a lot different than where they were before. Geez, they cut Darren McFadden, and now he's retired. Just a whole bunch of stuff going on with the Cowboys.
It's crazy.
You know what, after the last game that they ended up losing to the Chargers, they said that Jerry Jones had a closed door type of meeting with the team right after the game. Obviously, yeah, you know, if you know anything about Jerry Jones, that probably didn't go overly well for the players.
No, it did not.
And so, this is going to be a good game.
Yeah, I took the Redskins in this one. I just think the way things are shaping up in Dallas, if they do lose this one, things are going to get a little bit interesting in the last 4 weeks of the season. That's why I'm taking the Redskins in this one.
Yeah, and I'm taking the Redskins too. Obviously, if you don't already know my bias, I pay attention to the defensive lines a lot. And Dallas, with a great defensive line, can get a great pass rush at all times. DeMarcus Lawrence having a defensive player of the year type of season. But they do not play the run well. Washington, who has Ryan Kerrigan, another guy, can get a great pass rush. But the one thing that they are able to do a lot better than what Dallas does is stop the run. And so when it comes down to it, with two quarterbacks that aren't playing overly well and a lot of hurt skill players, I'm going with the Redskins.
Yep, that's a sweep with the Redskins. Both of us taking them. Next one, we got a pretty good matchup in the NFC as well. We got the Minnesota Vikings at 9-2, the 7-4 Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta as well. Coach, who'd you go with in this one?
I went with the Vikings here. I know Julio Jones, who's on my fantasy team, just had a ridiculous week. He had like 250-something receiving yards. But I did just read a thing the other day about Xavier Rhodes really kind of having his number throughout the time Xavier Rhodes has been in the league. And so obviously Case Keenum, the rest of that team playing really well. I'm going to go with the Vikings here, even though they're on the road.
Exactly. With them being on the road, that certainly is going to be an interesting note. But I think the way the Vikings have been putting some wins together here as of late, I'm going with the Vikings as well in this one. We got the 4-7 Houston Texans at the 7-4 Tennessee Titans, and Tennessee getting a win last week as well. Well, Houston, for some reason, I don't know why I did this in the Monday night game last week. I took the Texans over the Ravens.
What's wrong with you?
I've been banging my head against the wall about it all week as well. I wanted the Ravens to win, and then I look at my pick sheet, and I'm like, what was I thinking? Coach, who'd you go with in this one?
I went with the Texans here. This one was kind of a toss-up for me. I couldn't decide who to pick. Marcus Mariota hasn't played overly well this year. And, again, kind of the same thing. Two quarterbacks not playing overly well. I'm kind of, you know, bringing it down to the defenses, and I kind of trust the Texans' defense more than I trust the Titans.
Okay, that's very interesting. I went with the Titans in this one. I think, with the questionable quarterback play as well, I think maybe Tennessee just has a slight advantage. If anything, it may come down to one or two plays, and I think in a pivotal AFC South matchup, which is by far the worst division in the NFL, that AFC South, I went with the Titans in this week's matchup. Then Kansas City Chiefs at 6-5, taking on the 4-7 New York Jets as well from the Meadowlands in New York. Coach, who'd you go with this week?
I went with the Chiefs, obviously hesitant with that one just because they've lost 5 of 6.
Yes.
But, you know, and the Jets aren't playing terrible, but at the same time, man, it's hard to pick the Jets. They're just not good.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking the same thing too when the Kansas City went to New York earlier this year and took on the Giants. I thought, oh man, the Giants are just going to get steamrolled, and they sneak out an overtime win and a battle of field goals in that one, while Kansas City has just been egg on their face, like you said, losing 5 of 6. I went with Kansas City in this one. It just may come down to who's got the better skill players, but I wouldn't be surprised if New York puts up a little bit of a fight before things get ugly as well. We got the Denver Broncos at 3-8 at the 4-7 Miami Dolphins, getting word today as well that the Miami Dolphins head coach said that Jay Cutler is out of concussion protocol. I don't know if that means a good thing or a bad thing for the Dolphins at this point of the year, but Denver floundering at 3-8. Who knows is what this one's going to shape up like. Coach, who'd you go with?
I went Broncos here. I think Dolphins are absolutely terrible. I feel bad that they won 4 games because now they're not going to have the number one pick because they need one. Their offense is not good. Trading Jay Ajayi obviously earlier in the year. They've got the second worst point differential in the league behind the Browns. So I don't see them really winning much for any games for the rest of the season here. So, and I actually like Trevor Siemian starting here again for the Broncos. I trust him. And the run game hasn't been terrible, so I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Broncos too in this one. I just think a little bit more of an advantage on the Broncos side. I mean, that the defense has been something that's been noteworthy the last couple of years. Hasn't completely showed up this year, but I think against a team like Miami, I think Denver is going to be able to shake off some rust and get after it against the Dolphins in South Beach as well. We got the Indianapolis Colts at 3-8, while Jacksonville is 7-4. I went with Jacksonville this one. I think Indianapolis, to get those 3 wins, good for them. But without Andrew Luck at the same time, who knows if we'll ever see him this year or possibly ever again. I think it's going to be a given we'll see him again at some point. But in what capacity will he be for the Colts as well. Coach, who'd you go with this week?
I went Jaguars as well. I actually like what Jacoby Brissett's doing for the Colts. There's just not enough skill talent around him. The connection to him and T.Y. Hilton have is really good. Again, kind of like I said last time I was on here, he's got Joe Haig from NDSU blocking for him, which is obviously a hindrance for his quarterbacking play. So, yeah, I got to go Jaguars here.
Yep, definitely. It's a sweep. Both of us taking Jacksonville. Then you got 4-7 Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Lambeau Field taking on Green Bay Packers at 5-6. You know, not terrible for Brett Hundley filling in for Aaron Rodgers, but again, as the saying goes, he's no Aaron Rodgers. I went with Tampa Bay in this one. I just don't see how Green Bay can get really anything going the rest of this year. But again, they've shown some glimpses with getting a little bit of that once non-existent running game for Green Bay the last couple weeks, getting themselves into the end zone.
Yeah, I'm actually taking Packers here. I really like what Jamal Williams did last week. And Hundley actually played really, really well against that Steelers defense, which I was really surprised about. Jameis Winston's coming back here for the Buccaneers. I just saw a thing earlier today. And I don't know if you can tell, but I spend way too much time looking at NFL stuff. So I'm sorry, Coach Anderson, if you think I'm wasting my time doing that. I just like the NFL.
Well, we were giving Coach Anderson a little bit of grief as well for sending me a full page of questions to ask his wife, Stacy, earlier on the show as well. We threw that in the trash right away.
But I was just going to say, I just saw a thing today that two starting offensive linemen for the Bucs got put on the IR for the rest of the year. So I'd imagine Mike Daniels is probably going to be able to get a decent bit of pass rush here and play the run well, so I'm going to go Packers.
Yeah, that's certainly going to be an interesting one to watch as well. Then the next matchup, I think we got a little bit of bias on this one. Detroit Lions at 6-4 at the 6-5 Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore getting back over the 500 mark with that win on Monday night last week. And Coach, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you went with Baltimore.
You would be right. Now, I will say, last time I was on here, I did say that the Ravens weren't going to lose any more games, and I was wrong. But now let's give me a mulligan here. And now, Alex Collins, and I said it the last time, like, he has been fantastic for them, and I am really, really excited with what they're able to do with him. Getting Danny Woodhead back has been actually huge for the pass game.
Absolutely.
Joe Flacco is terrible, and I love him that he, you know, since he won a Super Bowl for us, but I hate watching him play quarterback for my favorite team because I think he is just awful at this point in his career. But having a nice safety net in Danny Woodhead keeps the sticks going and makes it a lot easier for us to get first downs. The combination of, like I said, Alex Collins and Buck Allen in the backfield has been really good for the last couple weeks, and so, yeah, needless to say, I went with the Ravens.
Yeah, Danny Woodhead, one of my favorite players of all time, got an autographed jersey of him when he was nice with New England. That probably hangs in my bedroom right next to my other favorite player, Jeremy Maclin. Both of them are Ravens as well.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
I went with the Ravens this week as well.
Well, so why don't you just convert to a Ravens fan?
Well, you know, I do have there's a lot of stigma goes between it, but we'll talk about that a little bit off air as well. I was very hesitant in thinking maybe I should wear a Ravens jersey tonight because I do have a nice Ray Lewis one. Ray Lewis, also one of my favorite all-time players. He's a tier below other than Tom Brady as well. That's another story. But yeah, I went with the Ravens in this one as well. Next one here as we start to wind down the show, New England at 9-2 at 6-5 Buffalo. I'm going to go out and say that we both went with New England.
Yep,
this
we
one
did.
Yep, that's a safe one to go with. Then we got 1-10 San Fran at the 3-8 Chicago Bears. This one maybe not so cut and dry as most people would have thought a couple weeks ago.
No, I actually went 49ers here.
Okay.
Jimmy Garoppolo getting his first start here for the Niners. I don't know if that's necessarily going to affect it, but I was probably going to take them anyway, even if Beathard had started. I like what they're doing. I think they have decent skill talent. O-line's not bad. Defense is starting to play better. I don't trust the Bears at all. I think that offense is pretty bad with the exception of the running game. Trubisky is a rookie. He's not great. So I'm going to go Niners here.
Yeah, I was really torn between whether to go with one of my favorite all-time Tom Brady backups in Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners, or go with the Chicago Bears. And again, one of those, I'm just regretting my pick instantly. I went with Chicago this week. Coach Anderson's going to be through the roof that I went with Chicago for once this week. Next one, we got...
you don't have to suck up to him.
You know,
though.
I don't want to, but sometimes it just happens naturally. I don't know how this happens. We got 0-11 Cleveland at 5-6 Los Angeles in Los Angeles, the Chargers, I should say. We're going to go say Chargers in this one.
I went Chargers. Now, this was the only win for the Browns last year, but Chargers are actually playing really well.
So, yeah, maybe we'll keep our eye on that one as well. Then we got 2-9 New York at 5-6 Oakland in Oakland. Going to be without one of their big playmakers are the Raiders, quite possibly. Michael Crabtree from last week's little scuffle with Aqib Talib once again. I went with Raiders this week, Coach.
Yep, I did as well. Geno Smith getting the start for the Giants. That'll be interesting.
Geno Smith. There's nothing that makes me happier than seeing Eli Manning sitting on the bench after those two flukish Super Bowl wins. I will say that. I will take that to my grave. Both flukish Super Bowl
wins. Well, yeah, now you can have 60 minutes of watching that dumb face on the sideline.
Exactly. Nothing warms my heart more than seeing that dumbish face on the sideline as well. Then we got 8-3, a battle of 8-3s in the NFC South, Carolina at New Orleans as well. While New Orleans lost last week against the Los Angeles Rams, Carolina, you don't know what you're going to get week to week with this team. Coach, who'd you go with this week?
I went Panthers. Saints offense has been really good. Alvin Kamara is probably going to be offensive rookie of the year, but they do the Saints do have a lot of injuries in the defensive backfield, so I'm going to go Panthers.
Yeah, I went with the Panthers this week as well, just to see. I think that's going to be a good one to keep our eyes on as well. Then going with another divisional matchup in the NFC West, you got the Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona. I went with the Rams this week, Coach.
I went Rams as well.
And no arguments on that front. Then in the Sunday night game, this one a little bit more interesting than people might think. We got the Philadelphia Eagles at 10-1. Head into the Pacific Northwest of the 7-4 Seattle Seahawks. Now, I went with Philadelphia this week, I think, the way they've been going. But at the same time, not going to be an easy place to play for anyone, especially with this Eagles team that's been rolling against a banged-up Seattle Seahawks team. Coach, who'd you go with?
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Playing in Seattle is – that's maybe the one place where you actually have home field advantage. They've got a great crowd, a lot of – penalties as far as jumping off sides and false starts and things from the opponents. But they're just so banged up. I want Eagles as well. They're rolling.
Then in the Monday night game to cap off our NFL picks, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals at 5-6. Steelers are 9-2. I went with Pittsburgh this week. I think that's a safe bet, but at the same time, the way the NFL season is shaped up this year, nothing is a safe bet.
Yeah, I agree with you. I want Steelers. I don't like to pick Steelers just because I want the Ravens to win the division, and I want the Steelers to lose every week that they can. But Andy Dalton is terrible.
Yes. Unfortunately as well, if he was in any other division, I think he would that team would do fairly well for themselves. But unfortunately, they got to look up at the Steelers and the Bengals. But at least they can look down at the Browns if that's any consolation whatsoever.
You better be looking down to the Browns.
I sure hope so as well, especially with the battle for Ohio and Cincinnati and Cleveland. Coach, that is going to do it for our NFL Week 13 picks. Thank you so much for coming on. Hope to have you again on here in the near future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of course, Coach's Corner live from the KJM Studios in downtown Madison. Great to come back after Thanksgiving last week as we start to wrap up the show as well. Don't forget that we're going to have basketball on the radio coming up next week after Coach's Corner. We got some Madison Bulldog basketball, I should say, coming up on Saturday from the Madison High School gym. They're going to be taking on Elk Point Jefferson. That'll be a boys and girls doubleheader. While also on our sister station on Jammin' Country 103, we're going to have some basketball on Friday night with Chester area hitting the road to take on Flandreau. That'll be a boys and girls doubleheader from Flandreau as well. That'll be on Jammin' Country 103. All games can also be listened to live on AmazingMadison.com. We'll like to give a big thank you to all of our guests tonight. Madison girls basketball coach Stacey Anderson, Madison wrestling coach Chris Waba, and of course Alex Glover, Dakota State University assistant track and field coach and also assistant football coach as well. Another great show. Thank you to all of our listeners for listening tonight. We'll have the show up on our website coming up here just a little bit later this evening through the Coach's Corner page at AmazingMadison.com. 7:03 is currently our time. And of course, this is Coach's Corner live from the KJM Studios in downtown Madison. You have yourself a good night and a rest of your week on Dakota's Best AM 1390.
Thanks for listening to Coach's Corner on Dakota's Best AM 1390 and at AmazingMadison.com. Tune in next Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Coach's Corner on KJAM.